raising destiny altars. This world that we are living in is not permanent. It's very temporary, very transient. That's why if you build all your hopes on this life, you are miserable. Paul said, if only in this life we have hope, then of all men, we are the most miserable. The glory of this life is not enduring. If all you have in this world is the glory of man, we will not last. The glory of this life is transient, very, very transient, very short. You can be the professor with XYZ degree, QRST, whatever. You will die the same death that somebody who is a madman will die. Life without Christ is a hopeless end.
My faith will stand.
Father, we give you praise, we give you thanks for all you do and for all you're going to do. We thank you for this morning, thank you for our lives. Thank you, O God, for your loving kindness, which is better than life. We commit ourselves into your hand, even as we're going to listen to your word. I pray for utterance, clarity. I pray that I may be able to communicate spiritual truth with spiritual words. And we all pray, God, that you endow us with revelation knowledge. Open the eyes of our understanding. Let your word have a place in our hearts. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We thank God for this morning. And you are all welcome to church. Before I preach, I want us to watch, listen to a song, and take note of the words of the song. Today is 18th February 2018, and today I'm talking about raising destiny altars, and we've been looking at destiny. We've been talking about destiny, and We've touched on various aspects of destiny. Last week, we talked about fulfilling your prophetic destiny. And as a way of recap, last week, we saw that there are three destiny outcomes. Destiny can be fulfilled, destiny can be delayed, and destiny can be denied. Then we also saw five different types of the will of God, the sovereign will of God, moral will of God, permissive will of God, providential will of God, and the perfect will of God. And today we are looking at raising destiny altars. Sometimes, you know, when people die and they leave this world, we, those of us who are left behind, we sit down and assess their lives, and we say, either say they lived to be a blessing or they didn't live to be a blessing. And sometimes we hear people say that, oh, he has made his mark in this life. He has done his best. He has given his all. He's somebody who has really made impact. But if we really want to make impact and we really want to live a life that is meaningful and purposeful, we must look at what is impact in the sight of God. Because what registers as impact in heaven may not necessarily be what registers as impact on earth. Somebody can live on this earth and be all that he has to be, can affect many lives at his death. Many people will come up and say that he was a blessing to me, he was a blessing to our nation, to our generation, or he's truly a man who lived a purposeful life. But in heaven, the story may be different. All that he did may not have registered on heaven's radar as impact. So we have to understand and see things from God's perspective. Life on this earth, this life that we are living on this earth, it is this life that God expects us to make impact. At the same time, this life is very short. Very short. The life we live on this earth, it is just a blip. a blip, just a blip on eternity's radar. It's just a small point, you know, because the number of years you live in this world or on this earth can never be compared to eternity. Eternity is not quantifiable. You can't quantify eternity. I always use this illustration. If you were told to empty all the seas, let's even take one sea in Ghana, empty it to a bottomless pit with a teaspoon over a distance of 15 million miles. So you walk 15 million miles and you go and just scoop one teaspoon, then you go and put it in the bottomless pit. The amount of time or the number of years it takes, it will take for you to empty the sea, is not even, it's like a speck of dust compared to eternity. Which means eternity is vast and wide. Time is limited. Time is short. Even if you live to be 120 years, it's just a short life. And that is how God sees this life. Life is a narrow passage between birth and death. And it has a shell life which is transient. It's transient. It's temporary. It's short. So no matter how long you live on this earth, your life, the life that you live after this earth, after you have left this world, is going to be longer than the life that you, that the number of years you live on this earth. That is why it is a wiser decision to secure life after death than to be so obsessed with life before death and not think about life after death. Somebody said, preparing for eternity is better than preparing for pension. But many people prepare for pension, but not for eternity. And God created us with the capability of continuing to live even after you have left this world. So when you leave your body, you have not ceased to exist. You only continue life. You change address. You change address. You continue to live in eternity. Man was created as an eternal spirit. Man will live forever. You will live forever. Even when you leave this body, you will still live forever, either with God or without God. And the things we do in this life, which will attract God's attention and register in heaven as impacts, they are things that are different from the things we normally consider as impacts on this earth. Somebody may come to this world, become a politician, help many people, do many things for a country, and heaven will not even take notice that this person existed. As far as heaven is concerned, the person passed through this world silently without making any noise. Heaven was never disturbed by the person's life. Even though on earth, we will celebrate the person and say, this is a true son of the nation. He has done his bit. He has lived his potential. He has fulfilled destiny. He has touched many lives. He was a philanthropist. He was a politician. He was a leader. He moved many people, you know, inspired many people. Meanwhile, in heaven, there is nothing about his life. Even on this earth, when you die right now, all your life will be summarized on a sheet of paper. It's a pity. All the things you have done in this world, all the right from birth to death, they will summarize all on one page, at most 3 pages. When they pick your funeral book, the book of tributes, you will see biography, your life story, just like 3 pages. That is how short and how temporary and how transient this life is. So we want to look at how the Bible describes our lives on this earth and how we can make our lives meaningful and purposeful on this earth. Turn to Genesis 6 verse 3. Look at what God said. Genesis 6 verse 3. When man sinned against God, the Bible said God repented that he had created man, you know, and said he was going to destroy man from the surface of the earth. It says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. His days shall be 120 years. So God said that man will, his days shall be 120 years. Sometimes we think that God was talking about the number of years it took Noah to warn them. But if you look at Noah's age, when he appeared in the Bible, and the time of the flood, and you subtract, you don't get 120 years. So that is for your assignment. Just take Noah's age, the time that Bible says the word of God came to him, and the time of the flood. Bible gave his age when the flood was starting, and his age when God called him, and you see that it's not up to 120 years. So it can't be Noah's. He was talking about the brevity of life. Because the thing is that God, when God created Adam, God said, the day you eat of this tree, you will surely die. And we all know the Bible said that to God, one day is 1,000 years. Okay? And 1,000 years is like one day. To God said, the day you eat of it, you will surely die. Man never lived to be one day. Adam died when he was 930 years, not up to 1,000 years. There's nobody who has been able to live for one day in the sight of God. All of us will live for hours, you know, minutes, some seconds, some microseconds. If you look at from Noah, from Adam coming down, you see that the days were gradually receding. I mean, being reduced. The lifespan of man was being reduced. So it got to a point, even now it has gotten to a point where you see when somebody is 80 years, 90 years, we say, oh, that's okay. He has lived a full life, or he has lived a long life. It never used to be so in the days of Enoch. Enoch was about 500 years when he got married, when he gave birth. 500 years. Today, if you give birth at 80 years, we say it's a miracle. But in Enoch's time, it will be teenage pregnancy. He said, you have given birth before time. You have to wait till you are 400 and something before you even start thinking about marriage. So that should tell us that life is getting shorter and shorter. Life expectancy getting shorter and shorter. When Jacob met Pharaoh and Pharaoh asked of his age, he said, my years have not attained to the years of my forefathers in their pilgrimage. He said, I'm a pilgrim. And he said, my years have been short and full of evil. That's how Jacob described his years. God said, man will not go beyond 120. He said, 120 years. So if you are strong enough and you have all the grace, and even if, let me give you 150 years. Let's say you go beyond 120 to 150. 150 is still very short compared to eternity. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 15, David described life as a shadow. He said, life is a shadow. It's a shadow. Then Job, as for Job, the way he described life, you even cry. Job said, life is like a hurrying messenger. Somebody that came with a message and he was in a hurry to go back. So he just came, delivered the message, then he ran. That's how life is. So it was when he said life is short. Job said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days. And he said, life is full of evil. For Job, he didn't say many good things about life because of the things that he went through. But we can look at Job 38, verse 21. Job 7, verse 6. Job 8. What is this one? Okay. This is 1 Chronicles. Okay. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow and without hope. This is from man's perspective, man's point of view. Life is meaningless. Life is without hope. Psalm 39, verse 5. Psalm 89, verse 45. Psalm 90, verse 9. Psalm 102, verse 3. 102, verse 23. We will read one of them. It says, indeed, 39 verse 5, you have made my days as handbreadth and my age as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. So this David describing life as a vapor. A vapor. When you boil water and it gets to the boiling point, vapor comes. When the vapor comes, you can look at the vapor and before long, it disappears into thin air. That is how life is. Life on this earth is very, very, very transient. In fact, James 4:14 said, what is your life? It is like vapor. James 4:14. He said, whereas you do Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. I'm saying that even if you live to be 100 years old, your life is a vapor compared to eternity. That's how God sees our lives. Even the one who lived to be 120 years, God sees his life as a vapor. Vapor, very transient. This world that we are living in is not permanent. It's very temporary, very transient. That's why if you build all your hopes on this life, you are miserable. Paul said, if only in this life we have hope, then of all men, we are the most miserable. If all your hope is only on this in this life, then he says, of all men, you are the most miserable. You are the most miserable. The glory of this life is not enduring. Psalm 49 verse 10 to 17. Let's read. Psalm 49 verse 10 to 17. The glory of this life is not eternal. It's not enduring. For he sees wise men die, likewise the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thoughts is that their houses will last forever. Their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. That is this life. This life. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He's like the beast that perish. Nevertheless, man in honor does not remain. This is the way of those who are foolish and of their posterity who approve their sayings. So not only those who are foolish, but those who also approve their sayings. There are some people, he said, they name their lands after them because they think that this world is their possession. It's all they have. It's all they have. So everything that they have, it's like their whole lot. That is all that their life is made up of. He said, you are very miserable if you are like that. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. So he's saying that whether you are rich or you are poor, you will die. Whether you are a great person or a small person, you will die. You've seen people who are very prominent people, very wealthy people that we thought could pay their way through so that death would not lay its hand on them, but they died. People who were protected, you can have 24-hour protection against death. One day you will die. 24-hour protection. Get soldiers to guard you 24 hours. I mean, what, some people who are in power, who are in authority, they think they are so protected. They are not. They can easily die. You can sleep one day and not wake up. No soldier, no bulletproof car, no bulletproof vest can protect you from death. He said, it is something that happens to man. God did not create this life to be permanent. So the glory of man is not eternal. It's not permanent. The glory of man is transient. Bible says the glory of man is like the grass that withers and the flower that fades. The flower fades and the grass withers. That is the glory of man. So if all you have in this world is the glory of man, you will not last. After your life on this earth expires, you are done. There's nothing else to live for. There's nothing else that can be credited to your account or to your name. So it's not enough to make or win laurels on this earth. Come to Proverbs 27 verse 24. Proverbs 27 verse 24. This is how the Bible describes the life that we live. The life that we live. Proverbs 27 verse 24. For riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. So he's saying riches, they are not forever. Even in this world, riches are not permanent. Bible calls riches uncertain riches. He said, tell them who are rich in this world not to trust in uncertain riches. Bible says, riches have wings. They fly away. He said, don't set your heart to be rich, for why would you labor to be rich? Meanwhile, money will fly away like a bird. So even in this life, there are people who can be rich today and poor tomorrow. That should tell you that life itself is not permanent. The glory of this life is transient, very, very transient, very short. So if all that you are thinking about is how to perpetuate your glory on this earth, how to live your life on this earth, how to live to please people on this earth, your life is very miserable because that is no impact. I was listening to the radio and they were talking about one man who was a politician who died recently. And they were talking about all the things that he had been through for the sake of a particular political party. And they were talking about the fact that a time came when his life was even at risk for the party. And he has used his money for the party, everything for the party. He lived for the party. I said, if this man never discovered destiny, what a waste of life. What a waste. All his life. And the sad thing is that give them 2-3 years, you'll be forgotten. Two, 3 years, you'll be forgotten. You may be the one who has really done a lot of things for the nation or for whatever, for people. When you die, you are going to be forgotten. So if that was all your life was about, then it means your life was transient. I mean, there was nothing that was recorded in your honor. But we are going to look at how God looks at life. All our activities are nothing. We are all busy for nothing. Yeah, that's that. If you look at life under the sun, we are all busy for nothing. Why would we wake up early in the morning to go to work? Early in the morning to go to work. Man will work and work and work and work and work. Then one day you will die. Then all that you've worked for all your life is like blown away. Because it is nothing. It is nothing. Look at Psalm 39 verse 6. 39 verse 6. All our busy things we are doing, they are busy for nothing. Surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. Is that not vanity? I'm asking you. Is that not vanity? It's vanity. So two people in the Bible who really described life are Solomon and Job. And they describe life from two extremes. One from the extreme of lack and poverty and sickness and darkness. One from the other extreme of prosperity. And they both concluded that life, everything is vanity. Solomon said, all is vanity. Solomon, everything is a vanity. He said, okay, what about this? What about somebody who was really prosperous and somebody who is really rich and everything is going well and he has a nice family and he said, vanity. So what about somebody who is poor, nothing is going on in this life, he's just struggling and struggling? He said, that's also vanity. Solomon said, everything is vanity. Including education. He said, what about learning and, you know, getting degrees and making impact? He said, vanity. Everything. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 12. If you listen to Solomon's advice, you would do anything on this earth. Because he said everything was vanity. He said, this one is to the students. This is to the students, listen to this very well. This is God's word for you. That says a lot. And further, my son, be admonished by this. Of making many books, there is no end. And must study is wearisome to the flesh. Of making many books, there is no end. And must study is wearisome to the flesh. Say, all is vanity. All the degrees you can get, they are all vanity. But that's the true description of life. Because despite all your degrees you will get and all that, they will never register anything in the sight of God. You can be the professor with XYZ degree, QRST, whatever. You will die the same death that somebody who is a madman will die. That's why Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of merrymaking. When you go to the mortuary, you will see somebody who is a mad person. You will see that they are all lying there. I mean, that nobody, there's no discrimination. Nobody is saying that, don't touch me. Don't touch me. How dare you touch me? Madman, you can't touch me. When you see some people on this earth, and you see them when they are dead, you'll be surprised. People who not even allow you to come close to them because they think you are even smelling. Or they think that you are dirty. You will see them lying down naked, stripped, naked. And they are not talking, they are not complaining, even though they have been stripped. Sometimes you see another person lying on them. Somebody's leg is in somebody's mouth. No complaint. That is the real description of this life. That is why if you are proud, it means you don't understand life. There are some people who, even this very life, you don't understand. Because this very life, you can be up today and down tomorrow. Life is not certain. It's full of uncertainties. Life without Christ is a hopeless end. There's no hope without Christ. It is life with Christ that is an endless hope. But life without Christ is a hopeless end. So Solomon said, everything is vanity. Job said, everything is vanity. Solomon said, why should you worry yourself to work and get money? He said, you are going to die and leave it. And you don't even know who is going to even come and spend the money. Whether he is a wise person or a fool. So all the years you spend working yourself to death is vanity. All the time you are spending to climb the corporate ladder, climb the academic ladder, go to the highest level. He said, all that is vanity. Because one day you just leave all that behind. And not even one of them can stand the test of time. The song said, when it's all been said and done, there's only one thing that will matter. Say, did I live for the truth? He said, only what I did for last reward will matter. Only what I did for God will matter. All that you did, it will not matter. It will not even come up for discussion. Well, some people will stand before God and they will be shocked. Even though they are believers, they will stand before God and they will be shocked that many things they did, they were just writing on the seashore. Just making drawings in the seashore. On the sand of the sea. Just making drawings in the sand at the seashore. When the waves come, they will just wash everything away. So what can we do to leave our signature, leave our footprints in the sand of time? That's what we are talking about. This earth itself, the Bible describes this earth as gradually getting old and weak. In Hebrews 1, 10 to 11, it says, the earth, all that God has made, they will wax old. They will grow old. They will become weak. Can't you see that the earth is becoming weaker and weaker and weaker? He said, and you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. The heavens and the earth, they will all grow old. Now the earth is growing old. That's why we are having all these earthquakes, all these tsunamis, because the earth is now growing old. So this earth that is also growing old and also coming to nothing, whatever you do only for this earth will also come to nothing. The measure of our lives in the eyes of God, in the eyes of eternity, is different from how we measure life in this life. It's different. And we have to align, we have to realign our thinking so that we'll see things from God's perspective. And then we can measure our lives by how God measures life, by eternity scales. There are certain things we do on this earth, they will pass for impact, but in eternity, they will not pass for impact. You can build empires, build houses, build buildings, build businesses, build ministries. And in eternity, they are all nothing. So, like I said, one day, all that you've done in this world, they will be reduced to just one page. Just one page. Somebody can sit down 1 hour. And all that you've done for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, the person can read all in just 1 hour. That is what the life is. Just 1 hour. So-and-so was born in this 1966. He went to school here, this, that. He was a great man. You know, he had this number of children. He established these companies and these businesses, and he had many businesses all over the world. And he's so rich, and he was a philanthropist, and that's all. Then he died and was buried. I was going through, walking through. A place was like a cemetery. I went to somebody's house and there was a cemetery there. I was just walking through and something caught my attention. It was a young guy, if you calculate, he was about 19 years. Then they wrote there, he said, he was here some. I believe that it was his friends who wrote it. He was here some. So and so was here some. You too was here. I'm saying that no matter what you do, what impact you think you are making, your life is just, he was also here. Or you are here, Sam. He was also here. So-and-so was here. That's all. And because of the futility and vanity of life, people have various dispositions towards life. Some people think that, because life is vanity, then let me adopt this philosophy. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. So in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 15:32, that's some people's attitude towards life. Let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. What is life? Life is nothing. After all, we are all going to die. So let's eat and drink. Let's just make merry and all that, and then tomorrow we die. That is called hedonistic. People have the hedonistic view of life. It's true because life is temporary and short. So they think that in order to take advantage, get benefit, let's enjoy everything and tomorrow we'll die. But that is not how God sees life. That is not life from God's perspective. That is not a meaningful life or a purposeful life. That is the life of people who have no aim, people who have no hope. People who are outside of Christ, who don't have any hope. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we'll die. People also say that, what will be, will be. Que sera, sera. What will be, will be. Therefore, let us just be there. After all, life is just whatever will be. So let me just live my life anyhow. I don't care. That's the motto of drunkards. Well, what will be, will be. Life after life is just vanity. So let me just live my life anyway. That is also not God's view concerning life. God's view concerning life is that this life, even though it's temporary, there are things we can do that will register in eternity. That will make life meaningful, our lives purposeful before God. Any other thing we do apart from those things, they are just non-scoring. They are just non-scoring. They will not count. God will not count them. And therefore, God admonishes us in the Bible to major on the majors and minor on the minors. There are things that God considers major in your life and things that God considers minor in your life. In this life, the things that sometimes we are so busy, we are chasing after, we are so busy trying to get, most of them, they are minors. If our lives are always in pursuit of these things, which are temporary and transient, then our lives are but like a shadow. But if our lives are in pursuit of things that will last, then even after we leave this world, our lives will still be making noise in heaven. There are some people on earth, nobody took notice of them. They never attracted anybody's attention on this earth. Never made waves on this earth. Was never heard of. And yet in heaven, even after death, their lives are speaking. Bible says Abel, even though he died, he said, even though he's dead, yet he speaketh. He was dead, but his sacrifice was speaking in heaven. So what really is impact? People define impact as things that you do for people to see. Oh, look at the building he has built. Oh, look at the car he is riding in. Oh, look at the money. Look at the people. All those things, they are vanity. They don't measure impact. People who have come close to death, they understand life. People who have come face to face with death, they understand life better. Because they have come to embrace the utter futility of life. That life is futile. That you can just lose it like that. Many people who have near-death experiences, many of them, they start thinking that my life should make more meaning. I should live for something that is more permanent. I should live for something that is eternal. I should not die for something that is temporary, that is not permanent. A meaningful life should go beyond this world. There are certain things we do, they can't cross this realm. We will leave them here. You can't take them with you. Those things are not important. The important things of life are the things that can cross this realm. That even after you are dead, it's still speaking. Sometimes we go through the motions of life and we struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. We are busy climbing the ladder, but the ladder is against the wrong wall. One of my brothers went to the bank one day, and he went to the bank, and when he went to the bank, he was in the queue. Then people attempted to jam the queue. And he was fighting with them, telling them, look, you can't do that. I will allow you. No, go back. It's not done. Why are you trying to jump the queue? And he was in the queue for a long time. When he got to his turn to present the check, the cashier looked at him, looked at the check. He said, no, this is SSB. You're holding ADB check. This is SSB. But this check is ADB. Are you getting me? So he went to the wrong bank. He was supposed to go to ADB. Then he went to SSB. And he wasted all the time in SSB. And he was even fighting with people on top. When he got there, he said, oh, you have wasted all the energy, all the effort. You are holding an ADB check in SSB bank. If we don't listen to God, that is how our lives will turn out. We will be holding ADB check in SSB bank. At the end, we will see that the life was meaningless. I was talking to one man who was telling me. He said when he got to a certain point, he saw that the things he did for God when he was young, in his teenage years, the sacrifice he did. He said, those are the things that now I consider as my life. He said, because everything will be gone. He said, my wife is gone. He said, even my children, they've all gone. They are married and they've gone. His wife is dead. He said, my wife is gone and my children are gone. Everything is gone. He said, now if I look at my life, the only thing that keeps me going is what I did for God. He said, thank God when I was a youth, I was so much into the activities of God and I was serving God with my heart. He said, when I look back, those are the things that I count as life, because everything I struggled for in this life is gone. I was in his office. And he was telling me. I said, this is the meaning of life. This is what Solomon said. He said, everything is fleeting. 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 So our lives must make meaning and impact. We must leave our footprints in the sand of destiny, in the sand of time. We must leave footprints in destiny, in the sand of destiny. An impact must be made on this very earth, in this very life that is vanity, that is transient. God expects us to make impact. He expects us to do things that will live forever. Things that will count for eternity. That's why I'm talking about raising destiny altars. There are altars you can raise in your life. Even after you are dead and gone, they are still speaking before God. And those altars are not the things that we usually consider as impact. Hallelujah. John 17:4, Jesus Christ said, I have finished your work. I have glorified you on the earth. It's like this earth is a stage. It's a stage that we go on to perform drama or act out our scripts. When the spotlight is put on you, then you act out the script that was given to you. And the thing is, it will put on you for a time. It's very short. So when it comes to you, when it gets to your turn to come on stage, then you must be precise and straight to the point. Don't waste time. Otherwise, you can waste time in this life and spend all your energies on things that later on you will see they are fleeting. They will not even last. Even in this world, they won't last. But if we choose to live life according to God, then we will build altars. And long, even after we are dead, he said, blessed are those who die in the Lord, for their works follow them. They enter into their rest, and their works follow them. There are some works that will follow you into eternity. There are some works that will perish with this earth. There are certain things you do, you leave them behind. Certain things you acquire, you leave them behind. But there are other things, you take them along with you. Those are the things that we must major on. That's why, if you look at the life of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their lives were summarized as this. They built altars for God and they pitched tents for themselves. They built their altars and they pitched their tents. Altars represent things that are of eternal value. He said they were living in tents. Abraham was moving about in tents, but he had a city in view. He said he was looking for a city which has a builder and architect, whose builder and architect was God. But they lived as pilgrims on this earth. And you would think that maybe Abraham didn't make impact on this earth. Even on this earth, he was a mighty prince. Even the unbelievers said, we have certainly seen that God is with you. But the real impact he made was the things he did, the thing that God asked him to do that he did. So they built their altars and they pitched their tents. There are things that we do that constitute altars. There are other things, they are tents. Tents are temporary. Tents are temporary. When you go and hire a canopy or canopies, tents, and you finish with the program, you dismantle them. They are not permanent. But altars are permanent things. Altars, permanent things. There are three destiny altars. Only three things. That will pass the test of time. Three things. That will endure. Three altars that will outlast, that can outlast you. Three things. And I'm going to give you the three things. 1 Corinthians 13:13. These are the three things that can cross this realm. Three things that will make your life meaningful, purposeful. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Any other thing you do with your life apart from these three is non-scoring. If it's not faith, if it's not love, if it's not hope, forget it. You will leave it on this earth. Because he said there are three that abide. Three that abide. Before then, he was talking about how tongues will fail, how prophecy will cease, how all those things will pass away. But he said there are three that abide. Three things. Faith, hope, and love. And of these three, the greatest is love. And so, I just want to talk about the altar of faith. I can't talk about all three today. I'm talking about the altar of faith. Then, next week, I'll touch on the other two. Bible says in Hebrews 11, 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You and God cannot be on the same wavelength without faith. That is why faith is a gift that God gives us when we come born again. And he gives us that faith to bring us into the same wavelength, on the same line, on the same wavelength as he is. So that we can make necessary impact. The desired impact. That's why Bible says anything that doesn't come out of faith is sin. The word sin means to miss the mark. Which means that anything you do outside of faith, you have missed the mark. Because faith is an eternal altar. Of all the things Joseph did, I told another time, all the things he did in Egypt, the only thing that the Bible recorded in Hebrews 11 is what he did by faith. So by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, he made mention of the fact that God will visit them, and he told them to carry his bones along with them. That was the only thing the Bible wrote concerning Joseph. That is quite surprising, because Joseph did many great things. He built silos in Egypt, fed millions of people in the damn world, spoke a lot of wisdom to Pharaoh's princes. He did many things. Interpreted dreams for people. But all that Joseph did, what made it to the hall of faith? He said, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, he mentioned that surely God will visit you. And when God visits you, carry my bones along. That was the only thing. So faith is an altar. Anything you do out of faith, and I'm going to explain faith. Anything you do out of faith becomes a monument before God. Becomes a destiny altar. Makes your life meaningful before God. Registers impact on heaven's radar. Anything you do out of faith. Faith is our vital connection to God's realm. You see, God lives in eternity. Man lives in time. So God lives in eternity. We live in time. So God gives us faith. When we are born again, he gives you the measure of faith to connect you to his side so that you can live in time with eternity's perspective. So you can live in time with eternity's focus. You can live in time with eternity in mind. You can live in time with the power of eternity. That's why we say that, you see, because for God, the past, the present, the future, they are one. For God. As far as God is concerned, now people are in lake of fire. People are in heaven rejoicing. Because he knows everything. So for God, sometimes when God is speaking, even in prophecy, it will be as though it was the past. John will say, and I saw a beast. And I saw a beast. But the thing is in the future. You say, and I saw a beast. And the beast did this. It's in the future. But God is speaking it in the past because it has already happened in eternity. So God gives us faith to bridge the gap between eternity and time. The gap between the supernatural and the natural. So that we can live on this earth. We can live on this earth. Live in time. With eternity's perspective and focus. That is faith. That is faith. So the things we do out of faith, that is impact before God. The things we do out of love, that registers before God. The things we do out of the hope, that registers before God. Apart from these three things, all the things you will do, they will just be, you will just be building castles in the air. Just building sand castles along the seashore. Sand castles. The waves will come and wipe them away. So, the altar of faith. And I'm going to let you know seven altars of faith. Various aspects. You know, Balaam asked Balak to raise seven altars so that he could curse the people of Israel. The first altar of faith. Obedience to God is an altar of faith that will live on even after you are dead. You see, wisdom is to obey God. Simple. Wisdom is not experience. Wisdom is not smartness. Wisdom is obedience to God. Because God is the one who holds the master plan. He has a bigger picture. And so when God says, do this and you do it, you are wise. He said, anybody who hears these things of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. That is obedience. That is the first altar of faith. Obedience to God. When God speaks, that is when faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. When God has not spoken, there's no faith. When God speaks, then faith comes alive. Faith is your response to what God has said. Everybody can get up and travel around the world. But Bible says by faith, Abraham traveled, left his father's house and went to a land. Abraham's traveling was by faith. It registered in eternity. Why? Because God told him to travel. So everybody can get up and travel and say, I'm going somewhere. I don't know where I'm going. But that will not be faith. Because it's not in response to what God has said. When God speaks and you obey, you have exercised faith. There were some people who were asked to come to Africa. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know how what they were doing was connected to the larger picture. They didn't know. They just came in obedience. Missionaries came to Africa, stayed here. Some of them died without even seeing the result of their work. And yet, their work was an altar of faith. Why? Because they were obedient to God. Some of them were privileged to be shown the fruit of their labor. But others didn't see. They didn't see the fruit. But their altars are speaking before God. Why? Because they came in obedience to God's word. People sometimes think that when we say success, it means when you see fruit. No. Success is obedience. Simple. Obedience to God, that is success. When you obey God, sometimes you will not even see the fruit. The missionaries who came to Ghana to start the Basel Mission, Presby and all that, they didn't envisage that they would have a large following like this. They didn't envisage that. They just came to Ghana to stay here. Some of them died here. They will bring 20 people, then yellow fever will kill them, or malaria will kill them. They will bring 20 more people. They will come and die. Look at their results after their death. Now, we live and then we know that their works bore fruit. Most of them didn't know. When I read Final Quest by Ray Joyner, he said, when he met Paul in heaven, Paul said that when he was about to die, he thought he had worked for nothing. Because most of the churches that he started had even gone to apostasy. And Paul didn't know that his letters were going to be compiled to become scripture. He was just writing the letters, just like that, to the churches. And so when he was dying, all his associates, they deserted him. If you read 2 Timothy, you will know Paul's last state when he was dying. That was the last letter he wrote. He was very near to his death. All the epistles, Paul will start by saying, peace. Grace and peace multiply to you. By 1st and 2nd Timothy, he said, grace, mercy, and peace. He was getting to his death. And he thought that all that he had labored for, they were washed away by the water. But today, look at the impact Paul's epistles they are making. Because he did them at the instance of God. You see, you cannot say, I want to make impact. I want the whole world to hear me. I want to win every soul. I want to register my name in the world. I want the world to people to say that, oh, he lived, he made impact. He did this, he built this. No. If you want to make impact, simple. Do what God has said. Obey. That's all. You may not see results, but obey. You are making the impact in eternity. I heard the story of a missionary who was sent to Uganda with his wife. They had two children, a girl of 12 years and a little boy. When they got to Uganda, the daughter died. No, the boy rather died. Then the wife also died. And the man, they were from Denmark, the man was so bitter, he went back to Denmark. When he was going to Denmark, another couple was coming to Uganda and they gave their daughter to that couple. That couple came to Uganda and they went to a remote village. God asked them to go. When they got there, the witch doctor said he wouldn't allow them to have any dealings with the people because they were carriers of foreign gods. Because they were believed Christians. The witch doctor was not a Christian, not born again. So they said that, okay, we will only allow your child. After your child, we will only allow this boy, this little boy, to come to you. You can send him. The boy was also a native of the town. So we allow this boy to come. You can send this boy. But we allow you to come to our town. So this boy came to the woman. The woman was sending the boy. The woman communicated with the boy, taught the boy how to read, then gave the gospel to the boy and all that. Later on, after they did that, they got the boy. Then that same couple, the daughter of that man died, you know, and then they also went back. Years later, this man who first went to Uganda, he had become an atheist. He didn't believe in God anymore. He had become a drunkard. But so many years after that, the missionary, the ones who took their children, the daughter saw this man's name in the newspaper, not knowing that the little boy who had been released to them, because of the impact they made on the boy's life, the boy had become a pastor and the boy has spread Christianity across the length and breadth of the country. And the boy built a monument in honor of the woman. The man was about to give up, commit suicide, because he thought that what he did not bear any fruit, because he didn't see. Thank God he saw finally that the thing he did bore fruit. But many people will not see. But the only important thing is obedience. Once you are obeying God, you are raising a destiny altar. You are making impact. Sometimes God may speak to you, do this, do that, and you don't know, you don't see how it connects to the larger picture. Just be obedient and let God count you as wise. Because you will never see how it connects to the big picture, but God sees. You do what God has asked you to do. The spotlight has been put on you. Just act and go. Jim Elliot. There were five young graduates in America in the 60s that God sent them to an island called Orca Islands, Indonesia. There were five young people, graduates. In fact, some of them had children, one child. Natalie Saint had one child. Jim Elliot had one child. Then the other three, too, had one child. And God sent them to go to Orca Islands. When they got to Orca Islands, the island was full of cannibals. And they were eating. The cannibals ate them. In fact, it happened that one day, they managed to get them the gospel and all that. But one day there was a misunderstanding. And the cannibals thought that the people wanted to kill them. And so they pounced on them and killed them. There's a documentary on that. It is called Beyond the Gates of Splendor. I've watched it. Beyond the Gates of Splendor. And in the documentary, they showed the impact that the five graduates have made in Indonesia. That island where they were killed, a thriving church emerged. And many people became born again in that island. But they were killed. And on the surface, people said that they were just fanatics who lost their lives for nothing. But in eternity, even on this earth, we saw the fruit, how the gospel went to Orca Islands and people became born again. When Jim Elliot died, they saw that he had written in the journal in October 1949, he wrote something in the journal. He said, "He is not a fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." That was the principle that guided his life. That if you give what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose, you are not a fool. So he gave what he could not keep, his life. And now he has gained what he can never lose. In eternity, he has built an altar. Second altar of eternity is sacrifice. Sacrifice. After obedience, then sacrifice. So the sacrifice you render in response to what God has said, they are going to count for eternity. Not the sacrifice. Somebody was recounting how he has suffered, how he suffered to bring democracy to a country, how he has been imprisoned, how he has been lashed at his back and all that. I said, if this person does not really discover destiny, what a waste. It's a sacrifice, but that sacrifice will not count towards eternity. You will only leave it here. But the sacrifice you render, because God has spoken, that sacrifice is counting towards your mark in eternity. It's going to cross this realm into the next realm, because it's a destiny altar. It's an altar of faith. Sacrifice. Hallelujah. So sacrifice in obedience to God will raise an altar. That is why when God speaks to you to sacrifice, see, Christians should not be afraid to lose anything. We shouldn't be afraid to lose anything at the instance of God. God, because of what God has said, Jesus Christ said, if anyone wants to save himself, he said, if you want to save your life, you will lose it. But if anyone who loses his life for my sake shall find it. If God speaks, and because of what God has spoken, you lose something, it's a blessing, not a curse. It's a profit, not a loss. He said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Obedience comes before sacrifice. But after God has spoken, then sacrifice comes. When God has not spoken, any sacrifice you are sacrificing is non-scoring. When God speaks and you obey and you sacrifice, that sacrifice counts. It's the second altar of faith. And it's an altar of destiny. It will speak even when you are dead. That is why we remember Stephen. remember the apostles. That's why in the New Jerusalem, the foundation of the walls had the name of the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Who knows Peter's buildings he built? Who knows Peter's buildings he built? Who knows? Even who knows his children? Who knows? The buildings he might have built, they were not written in the foundation of the city. The businesses he might have started were never written in the foundation of the city. But because his life, because he gave all, he gave up his life, because he lived in obedience to God, his name was written. Today, it doesn't matter anymore. All those in Peter's time who were busy here and there without attending to what was important, now they are just gnashing their teeth. They say, we should have been like Peter. When Peter was going up and down, obeying God, we thought that he was just being too serious. We thought he was dancing to an invisible beat. We thought he was mad, not knowing he was building a destiny altar. Third altar of faith, relationship with God. That one too will cross this realm. Relationship with God. It can cross this realm. Jesus Christ said, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the better part, and nobody can take it away from her. What part did Mary choose? Mary chose the part of relationship with God. She took a seat and sat at the feet of Jesus and was listening to him and conversing with him. Jesus said, Martha, this is better than what you are doing. He said, in terms of eternal value, this has more premium than what you are doing. Because this is a destiny altar. It will follow Mary wherever she goes. Your relationship with God, it goes with you into eternity. You will enter eternity with your relationship with God. The secrets that you have shared with God, they will form part of you. They will become a part of you in eternity. Your knowledge of God will become a part of you in eternity. Your relationship with God. That is why when you sacrifice your relationship with God for something that is temporary, that is earthly, Bible calls you a fool. He said, don't be a vain and profane person like Esau, who for a morsel of bread sold his birthright. He despised his birthright for a morsel of bread. He made loss, not profit. The fourth altar of faith is doing the will of God. Anytime you are doing the will of God, the radar in heaven will register activity. God only sees activity in his will. Anything that is not God initiated, anything that is not the will of God, you can expend energy and everything. God doesn't see it as activity. God doesn't see it. Come to Matthew 20 verse 1 to 3. I want to show you something. Matthew 20:1-3. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. Yes. He saw some people standing idle in the marketplace. The marketplace is a very busy place. People moving about, but he saw them to be idle, even though it was a busy place. Sometimes you can be so busy, but God sees you as idle. Because all that you are doing will not count towards eternity. Idleness to God is not the absence of activity. is the absence of activity that counts towards the will of God. That is idleness. You can be very busy. People will see you as busy, but God sees you as idle. Because how can you see somebody is idle in the marketplace? People are walking about. Look at a place like Kijitia or Tema Station. I mean, busy place. You cannot just stand something like this. Like, no, you are doing something. But God counts idleness as when you are not doing his will. That's why Psalm 39 verse 6 said that we busy ourselves for nothing. The fifth altar of faith is the spiritual landmarks in your journey with God. They become altars. They become altars. The rhema God speaks to you will be part of you in eternity, because it's relationship. Your Christian growth will be part of you, will be part of who you are in eternity, because it's relationship. Your character will be part of who you are. So God values character more than career. God can mess up your career just to fix your character. Because as far as he's concerned, your character is of eternal value. Your career is of temporary value. Even though you need your career, your character should come. So when God sees that your career is interrupting, and that's the only option, he can touch it to fix your character. So that's why he said that so that we can be partakers of his holy nature. He said, no discipline seems joyous, but it's grievous. But afterward, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness, so that we may be partakers of his holy nature. Hebrews chapter 12. The encounters you have with God, they are altars of faith. These are the things that they become yours. In Proverbs 13:22, Bible says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Let me ask you a question. What inheritance can you leave for your children's children? If you have a house now, and you give that house to your children, to their children, by the time their children become old, that house will be obsolete. That house, I was passing through Edum some years ago. Somebody showed me a hotel in Edum. He said in the 70s and the 80s, it was a top-class hotel. And as I looked at the hotel, I said, so this was the top-class hotel in the 70s. Today, even if you give it to me as a gift, I won't take it. Because think about it. Most of our average houses we live in right now, I'm talking about the average houses, some few centuries ago, they would have been the dwelling place of empress and kings. They would have envied the average houses we have now. The average houses, the average houses. Because some 100 to 200 years ago, the kings and the empress, even the houses they lived in, they were not as beautiful as the house that we live, the average house that we live in now. That should tell you that the inheritance he's talking about is not physical inheritance. If your father gives you a car, can you pass the car to your children? By the time the car gets to your children, the car is a jalopy. The car will be driving them. They will be pushing the car around. The car will not be. So the inheritance he's talking about is not physical inheritance. That you said that you can leave something for your children's children, which is eternal. That will be passed from one generation to the other. Abraham met God at Bethel. Raised an altar at Bethel in Genesis 12, 7 to 8. Then he talked to God. In Genesis 28, verse 10, Jacob got to Bethel. He got to Bethel and he encountered God. Because there was a spiritual landmark that Abraham, by reason of his work with God, had created. So Jacob only got to that place and had an encounter. When you live your life according to God's purpose, I'm telling you, you create a path for your descendants to encounter God. There are things you do that your descendants will come and benefit because you work with God. Not the physical inheritance, not the money you leave to them, not the buildings, not the cars. All those things are transient, they are temporary, they are not of eternal value. It is something more than money. Something more than money. The place Abraham offered Isaac was the same place Solomon built a temple for God. That was transgenerational impact. He offered Isaac on Mount Moriah, Genesis 22, verse 2. Solomon built a temple on Mount Moriah, 2 Chronicles 3, 1. The very place. That is because Abraham worked with God and he had created a spiritual landmark. So his descendants came and encountered God at that same place. So a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Let me show you what can be passed from one generation to the other. Faith. 2 Timothy 1:5. It's level 2 and I'll finish. Faith can move from one generation to the other. He said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded it's also in you. You see faith jumping from Lois to Eunice to Timothy. He said, the genuine faith that was first in your grandmother Lois, now in your mother Eunice, and now in you, Timothy. So faith is the inheritance that is passed on to children's children. So grandmother Lois passed the inheritance to children's children, Timothy. No wonder Timothy encountered God and became a firebrand. His grandmother had contacted God and left an inheritance for him. You may never know, there's somebody in your family who was praying for a pastor to rise up in the family. Some of us, we are answers to people's prayers, but we don't know. Somebody in your family went on his knees and said, Oh God, raise somebody to do this thing. And God, so you think that maybe you are the most spiritual. Listen, there's somebody who was praying for to have somebody like you in your family. It's a spiritual inheritance. You check your family, trace it to about 500 years back. You will see there was somebody praying for somebody like you to come. There's last but one altar of faith is eternity mindedness. It's an altar of faith. If you want to raise destiny altars, be eternity conscious. Colossians 3, 1 to 3. He said, set your affection on things above, not on things beneath. Where Christ is, things above. We should be driven by eternity, driven by eternal things. When you see the value of eternal things, earthly things become temporary. They become transient. They become of no value. People kill and fight about physical things. Oh, this land is mine. It's not yours. It's mine. It's not yours. Then one will stab the other, then they will die. This building is mine. It's not yours. These are all physical things. Physical things. Physical. But when we focus on eternal things, even the physical things, we can have them in abundance. They will not change our hearts. Look at Moses. Moses, Bible says in Hebrews 11:24, he said by faith, Moses, when he was old, he was of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Continue. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward by faith. By faith, he fixed his eyes on eternity. By faith, he esteemed the reproaches of Christ as greater riches. No wonder they got to a point. Moses, who had been a prince in Egypt, never desired to go back to Egypt. But the slaves in Egypt, they said, we want to go back. Isn't it not amazing? Those who were slaves in Egypt, who were being maltreated, they got to a point, they said, Moses, take us back to Egypt. But the one who was a prince in Egypt, he never said, I'm going back to Egypt. Because he looked beyond the temporary and fixed his eyes on the eternal. When God opens your eyes to see eternal treasures, temporary things, they lose their hold on you. They lose their hold on you. You are not interested. Any believer who will fight over land and buildings, and he has not had an encounter with eternal values. Moses left Egypt. Do you know what it means to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter? That means royalty. That means the next Pharaoh, likely Pharaoh. That means pomp and pageantry. That means wealth and power and fame and status. Bible says he looked at all that and he said, vanity. I esteem the reproach of Christ. He said he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. The treasures and the pleasures of Egypt, he was able to forgo because he had an encounter with the invisible. His eyes were fixed on eternity. Eternal, you see, when your eyes are fixed on eternal rewards, even your trials, they become treasures. Paul, he said, I count all things but dung because of the excellency of my knowledge of Christ. I count everything as done. Paul had a lot of credentials, a lot of certificates. He said, all that is done. He said, there is nothing more powerful, more thrilling, more exciting than Christ. He said, so because of that, all these things, they are vapor. They will vanish into thin air. They are like vapor. Oh, and because of that, all the things he was going through, Paul said, these are nothing. Satan will bring persecution. Satan will bring affliction. Then Paul said, our light affliction is working for us a far more weighty glory. He said, our light affliction. That must have gotten Satan confused. What is this guy calling light affliction? Is it the shipwreck I caused? Or is it the beatings I made them beat him? Is it the hunger he went through, or the nakedness? Is it the cold he experienced? Is it the insult, the rejection? Paul said, our light affliction. Satan said, oh, I thought I was doing my best. This guy is not seeing it. Because to him, it does not measure up in eternity. It's a light affliction. The trials will be turned into treasures. The last one, altar of faith. Seeing the invisible. Seeing the invisible. That is another altar of faith. The things, do you know that the important things of this life, they are not seen? Put it in your mind. The important things of this life, they are always invisible. Even your body, the most important organs of your body, you don't see them. True or false? You don't see your heart. Have you seen your heart before? Have you seen your heart before? Have you seen your kidney before? What about your lungs? What about your pancreas? Your spleen? When they say you have cancer of the pancreas, you know that very soon you will die. When your heart decides to stop for 10 minutes, you are dead. And yet you don't see it. That should tell you that the most important things of life, they are not seen. They are the intangibles. People think that the things that are seen are so important. So all our lives, we are trying to accumulate property. All our lives, we are trying to do this and do that and strive to be seen and heard. Trying to impress people who are not even looking. That is our human lives. But the important things you can't buy with money. Peace, joy, love, patience, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Galatians 5:22. So against such, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, peace, joy, patience, gentleness, self-control, long-suffering. So against such, there is no law. These are the things that are important in life. Instead of looking at somebody's outward appearance and the things that he has, before you decide whether to this person is my husband or wife, look at the intangibles. Look at the intangibles. Look at the peace you have in your heart. Look at the joy. Look at the faith. Somebody said, a person with vision is more important than a person with television. You want to marry somebody with television. Marry somebody with a vision. Marry somebody with the fear of God. Somebody with faith. These are important things. When you get married, it's not about six-pack, V-chest, or 10-pack. It's about faith. It's about love. It's about hope. These are intangibles. They are not seen. But these are the things that control life. They make life meaningful. The unseen. The intangible. May God help us. You see, one of the prayers I've been praying, said, God, help me not to waste time. Because we can waste time. Help me. And you know how you waste time? You waste time when you don't do what God says do. People think that you waste time when you are there. Somebody say, okay, oh, no, I must be doing crusades every month. No, that's not. If God says do crusade, then you do crusade. If God says do crusade and you don't do it, you're wasting time. But if God says do crusade, then do crusade. It's not the sacrifice that is important. It's the obedience. It's God. What is God saying about you or to your life? Are you doing it? If not, then you are wasting time. Somebody must take a certain decision. Somebody must take a certain step. I want us to pray. I've not finished. I will continue next week. And I'll talk about the other two altars of destiny, love. When we start talking about love, you will know the important things of this life. When people are about to die, do you know the thing they start valuing? Family, friends, relationships. When people are nearing death, I watched two men of God who were my very good mentors, Kenneth Hagin and Derek Prince. When they were about to die, all their messages was love. When they started, they were talking about many things. But when they were getting nearer to their death, they said, the goal of our instruction, even Paul, he said, the goal of our instruction is love. Everything is love. He said, the important things of life, love, human relation, more important than money, is the currency of life, human relation. You can look, see somebody today and despise the person. Because you can't get anything from the person. But you will see that your life is dependent on him tomorrow. That is how God has created this world. That is why it's an ecosystem of relationship. Ecosystem. When you break the cycle, it comes back to you. I will show you next week how you can connect your descendants to God. Jesus Christ, he said, sell what you have and give alms. Sell what you have and give alms. You will see how that can connect to leaving inheritance for your children's children. I want us to pray. Let's be on our feet. When it's all been said and done, there is just one thing that will matter. Did I learn to live for truth? Did I live in love? Did I live my life as God wanted me to live it? Those are the things that will matter. Bob Jones died and went to heaven before he finally died. He said he stood before God and God asked everybody just one question. Did you learn to love? All the believers said, did you learn to love? These are eternal things. They are destiny altars. Let's pray. We are praying that God should help us to change our thinking, realign our thinking, help us to think correctly in line with God, in line with eternity's perspective. Open your mouth and pray. Koriya talaba hazala. Li mataya malaka zoterehesh. Manke pretete zulha. Roka talaba hadas. Londe bretekoza. Goliya talaba hadas. Locally under this mantala makiso lahato rika talabako zitang monde tehata. They build their altars and they pitch their tents. They build their altars and they pitch their tents. They built their altars and they pitched their tents. Altars, altars. Are you majoring on the minors or you are minor on the majors? Are you living your life as God wants you to? Are you keeping the main thing, or you are keeping the main thing as subsidiary? Are you keeping the main thing, the main thing? The main thing is the main thing. The main thing about your life is God. The main thing about your life is eternity. The main thing about your life is the will of God. The main thing about your life is obedience to God. The main thing about your life is your relationship with God. The main thing about your life is your character. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Kobri hatalabas. Limana mahasulis. O kerebe salabahata. Manderebe kozileha. Ripalamana sikrahanta. Ripelebe kozi. Rapalamanama siriaha. O yanamaha. Manderebe kozi kerebe koturibos. Le karabalaba. O yanamakurabosere. Kobro sirababa. Oh yes, Lord. Oh yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We are praying the second prayer. We are still asking God, give us grace. Give us grace. Give us grace. Help us to decipher. Help us to discern. To know. To separate the right things from the good things. To separate the important things. There are certain things that are not urgent, but they are important. There are others that are important but not urgent. But there are others that are urgent but not important. That God should deliver us from those things that are urgent but not important. Focus our lives on the important things. Important things. Things that are of value before God. Thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Koriana mabasim. Mandelebe ko shirebesi. Lo karababas. Libra baba suriya tarababa mandere de ko shiyarabaha koriya tarabarabaraba siriya rabam e mana mana masikaraba la mare ya ko de mana masikaraba baba. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Give me you, anything else can wait. Give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Give me you. Lord, give me you. Give me you. Anything else can wait. Give me you. Hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, it be you. Me, oh, I'm all. It's me, oh Lord, I'm on my knees. Give me you, give me you. For the last time, give me you. Anything else can wait. Oh, give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord. We give you praise. Help us, O God, not to walk as unwise people, but to walk circumspectly, discerning what the will of the Lord is. That we will not waste time, O God. That we will walk in accordance with your will. That we will not busy ourselves with things that will yield no eternal rewards. Help us to choose things that will bring eternal rewards over things that are temporary and transient. Help our hearts to be fixed on you, O God. Not on this world and the passing treasures of this world. Give us the mindset of the patriarchs. That we will build altars for you and pitch tents for ourselves. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.